In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our program of approaches. Let's approach the sacrament of confession. How can we present this idea of confession to the non-believers or even to those who believe but not in an orthodox way, so they do not believe in this confession? So the commonest question in this, why confession? Why should we confess? We may confess to God directly. We need not to confess. And people may accept the idea of repentance, but reject the idea of confession. So first of all, let's revise the meaning of confession. The word confession or to confess in the Bible comes in three main meanings. The first meaning is the knowledge of God's goodwill. When you know how much God give gifts, this kind of knowledge is a meaning of confession. You confess how God is gracious to you. Like what's written in Daniel chapter 3, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Or in the Psalm, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's translated the word confession. And into His courts with praise, be thankful to Him and bless His name. A second meaning of confession, that you confess your faith. The first one, you confess the good deeds of God, that you are grateful to God. This is kind of confession. The second meaning, that you confess your faith. You declare your faith. Like what's written in Romans chapter 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the heart believes and the mouth confess this belief. Also written in Matthew chapter 10, therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. This word confession here is not related to sins, it's related to faith. He confess me. So this kind of declaring faith may take the meaning of confession. The third commonest meaning of confession is to declare sinning. That when you stand before God saying, I'm sinful man, I've done bad things. So by saying so, you are confessing. If we confess our sins, that's written in the first letter of John. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the word confession comes here with the sins. Also in chapter 5 of St. James, confess your trespasses to one another. He meant the one who made sin to the priest, because before this he was telling that the priest may visit the sick man and take his confession. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So these three meanings of confession usually work together. Because if you believe in God, you confess your belief. And if you believe in God, you confess that God is giving you much. And if you believe in God, you confess that you are not doing the right things He ordered you. So these three items of confession is always related to each other. Let's go for the steps of repentance. Before confession, we need to repent. And after confession, we need to continue our repentance. The first step of repentance is one should admit in front of his heart, himself, that he had done wrong. Because if I believe that I did not do any wrong, I will never repent, I will never confess. And this kind of admitting a sinful act is always related to the Word of God. Because when we read the Word of God, we stand like before a mirror. So we can see the negatives, we can see the problems, the defects, the mistakes, the sins. But if we forget the Word of God, we can see ourselves as good. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. This is written by St. James in his first chapter. Because you say, I'm rich. This is one of the bishops in the early church. He was saying inside his heart, I'm rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So with the Word of God, this bishop can see himself as poor and naked in spirit, and in this way, he will start repenting and confessing. Also written in the Gospel of St. Luke, when he came to himself, the prodigal son, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. So in this, he started confession in a good way, because he could see his bad deeds. This is the first step of repentance and confession. The second step is to regret your sins in praying. So there is no repentance without praying. Prayer is the main act of repentance. While praying, I am complaining of myself. I am confessing before God that I had done wrong, that I need His help, I need His forgiveness. So this is the second action in the process of repentance and confession. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Also in Luke chapter 7, the Lord said, a woman in the city who was a sinner, then she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet and with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant. All of these acts were parts of expressing her feelings, her prayers, but in a silent way. So this is the second step in repentance and confession. The third one is to renounce sins and wrongdoings. You just put them clearly in the prayer and admit them in your heart. As Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So the third step is to plan for the future life, the healthy, pure life without any more sinning. Also written, afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more. So this is the third step. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So the first step is to admit that you have done wrong. The second is to pray, ask for forgiveness and for change. The third step is to plan not to sin again. The fourth one It's the spiritual struggle. It's not easy to change yourself. It's not easy to be transformed into a pure man in one day. So you need to struggle. You need to fight back the bad attitude, the bad ideas, whatever wrong in your life. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Also said, for to everyone who had more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he had will be taken away. So you need to have some struggle, some prayer, some trials, in order to be given the gift of forgiveness and transformation. Now it comes to the step of confession. So if you admit in your heart and you start praying in an honest way and then planning not to sin and struggling and striving against sin, then you go for confession to your Father of Confession. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is the sacrament of priesthood. It's very much related to the sacrament of confession. The priest had the power of forgiveness from the Lord himself. So by binding the sin or loosing the sin, this is the authority of God himself of forgiving sins. As happened in the Old Testament, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You know, Nathan was considered like a father of confession for David. And after he had his terrible sin, he confessed before Nathan, saying, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. This is the exact absolution given by the priest to whoever coming in repentance and honest confession. Also, you know what happened with the story of Joshua with Achan. He said to Achan, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. But you know, Achan did not have a heart of repentance. He was resisting the Holy Spirit to repent. He was considering himself good. So because he did not repent, he did not get the absolution and he died. So we need, before confession, one should revise himself, revise his ideas, his sights, whatever he hears, all his speeches, the feelings in his heart, the acts of his hands, the places he go to. So he need to revise all activities in his life. Also, let's revise even the spiritual law. What sort of prayer you're praying? What sort of Bible study you have? Do you go regularly to the Mass? Do you have communion on regular basis? Do you enjoy having quiet time with God? Do you go regularly to your service? Are you a good member in the church? So all of this should be revised in the sitting of confession. Also, you may ask your Father of Confession to get some exercise, spiritual exercise to do. And in this, you know, you can see the act of confession like doctor's patient relationship. We are coming to our Father of Confession like sick people, and they are the spiritual doctors who help us to be healed from our sins. The last step will be the absolution prayer. The priest will give you the absolution with the power of the blood of Christ. So when he put the cross on your head and he prayed the words of the church, this sin will be always put on the head of the Lord Himself, and you will come out of the confession as pure as those who came out of the baptism in their early life. So by saying so, you can help others to accept the idea of confession, and you can tell them by your experience how much relaxed you feel after confession, and the gift of peace given with the act of confession, and with the honest repenting heart, you will grow in the spirit from glory to glory and glory to God. Amen.